Okay, thank you, Brother Dan, and good morning. Hey, I want to greet you this day in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, always a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, beautiful day to be with our brothers and sisters. Beautiful sunny day as we praise our God and give Him the glory this day. Starting this morning with Psalm 118, 24, which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, we are such a blessed people. You know, let's rejoice in the Lord this day. You know, several of our members in the East Local are combining to worship at the temple at this day. It's an exciting opportunity. By joining together, we can strengthen our walk with the Lord. We can show love one to another and can bear testimonies of God's goodness. There is strength in numbers. You know, we all need each other. As we unite, we can help each other as we strive to serve our God. You know, today is the first morning preaching service of 2021. You know, where did 2020 go? We know all how it went. But, you know, as we start the new year, I want to ask, how was 2020? You know, I'm sure many of us have mixed reviews. And at my work, our vice president at our corporate office in Minnesota sends out a thought for the day. And this week, on Monday, he sent out this thought. And I wish I had one of these days, very soon, I'm going to get to the PowerPoint moment, but it's not there right now. So it would be better to show it on there. But it's somewhat of a cartoon here. And there's just four little boxes. And the first one, there's two people sitting on a park bench. And the one, it's a man, he has a hat on. It says, "Remember 2020? And it's a question mark. And the other person on the bench says, "Yep, it was awful. Worst year of my life." So then you go down to the next square, and it's two little puppies or two dogs. And they're sitting there, and the first one says, "Remember 2020? And the other dog says, "Yep, my human spent every day with me. Best year of my life." You know, so even though that's funny, you know, it depends on our perspective. Our perspective of life. You know, our answers can vary depending on our outlook. I received, you know, as we look back to 2020, let's ask ourselves the following questions, you know, in our lives. I know it was a rough year. I know it was a challenging year, but there were good points. And so let's look back to 2020 with these following questions. First one, and it's, how did I do in my spiritual life? Actually, that's the whole component of this, and then I have questions under it. First one is, how much time did I spend in God's Word? You know, did we study scriptures on a daily basis? I'll tell you, several years ago, I started where I start the day and I have to read something out of the Bible, something out of the Book of Mormon. And I've just got in that habit. And some days it's longer than others. Sometimes it's very short, you know, because I slept too late, I did something. But I've gotten that habit. And we all need to get in that habit, you know, so that we can start our day out right. You know, did we take the time to attend services either in person or by live stream? You know, live stream, that's one thing we learned in 2020 was that computers can be good. You know, they can be frustrating, but they can be good. You know, we can receive the Word of God, those that are still staying home, those that, and with the live stream, all the sermons here, if you miss it, you can go in a little bit later, pull it up, and be fed by the Lord. You know, did we look for opportunities to show God's love through kindness and encouragement to one another? You know, did we look for those opportunities? You know, we had those times where we can't go over to people's houses. We can't do anything. But did we pick up the phone? Did we encourage? How consistent were we in our prayer life? You know, did we regularly seek the Lord in prayer, asking for blessings for those in need? And more importantly, did we praise God for those blessings that we receive? And did we share those blessings with others? Share the goodness of God. You know, we have the CCEG that we're able to see those in need. We also have the opportunity to see the blessings. And do we reach out one to another? You know, I will say that 2020 was a challenging year. You know, I think we all agree that. With the pandemic affecting our lives, many lost their jobs, including me. You know, but I've been blessed. You know, their income was interrupted. You know, we had changes in the way we worship. You know, who would have thought we would be wearing masks? You know, we would have to do different things. You know, there's been unrest in our nation with rioting, looting, and protests. You know, we could live in fear, but we need not fear. You know, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, God is here for us in our lives. You know, do we seek him? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Are we searching for God? You know, the Lord is with us every day, but we need to seek him. We need to seek him. You know, as we start 2021, I want to focus on something that many of us, especially myself, have a problem with. And, you know, we have New Year's resolutions. I think I'm not going to focus on losing weight. I think that's probably everybody's. You know, at Christmas, my wife made all these good treats, and the week before, every night I had to eat more and more because I knew that January 1st I was going to have to go on a diet, you know, and I love food, and that probably wasn't the best thing, gaining 10 pounds the week before so that I could start eating healthier. But what I'm going to talk about today and the problem that I have is procrastination. You know, at my house, I have many projects to get done, and you can ask my wife, I never find time to complete. You know, there's so many things that we need to get done. And we're so busy. We're so busy, never get around to getting the things done that we need to. So I looked up the definition of procrastinate, and it is a delay or postponed action, putting off doing something, especially something requiring immediate attention. So today, there's one area in our lives that we cannot afford to put off. I think we all know before I say it, and we cannot put off those things that it takes to assure ourselves salvation. You know, we must do those things that bring us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our thoughts, do we feel we have a long time to prepare to follow his commandments? You know, are we saying, you know, I got to get this done, I got to do this, but I'll start that tomorrow. You know, do we have? No. We need, today is the day we have to prepare. Do we fill our schedule with things that get in the way of serving our God? You know, and I know we do. We all have this schedule. We got to get this done. I go to the grocery store. So many things that, you know, go to work, so many things that, you know, you try and squeeze in God. But instead, he should be our focus. He should be number one. We cannot afford to wait till tomorrow. You know, Alma 19:84 says, "And thus we see that there was a time granted unto men to repent, yea, a probationary time, a time to repent and serve God." You know, that time we have is today. This is the time granted to us to do the things that are right to serve our God. We get one chance. Let's do the best we can. You know, he's given us this time. You know, if we waste this time that we have, we will hear the same words that Samuel said in Helaman 5. So let's turn to Helaman, the fifth chapter. I'm going to read three verses, and it's on page 591. So Helaman 5 on page 591. I'm going to start with verse 51. And these are the things we don't want to hear. But it says, "But behold, your days of probation are past. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlastingly too late, and your destruction is made sure. Yea, for ye have sought all the days of your lives for that which ye could not obtain. Ye have sought for happiness in doing iniquity, which thing is contrary to the nature of that righteousness which is in our great and eternal head. O ye people of the land, that ye would hear my words, I pray that the anger of the Lord be turned away from you, and that ye would repent and be saved." You know, do we want to take that chance to hear these words spoken by our Heavenly Father? You know, we don't. You know, this is the day for us to take hold, to follow our God. You know, can we pass up this opportunity to follow our Lord and strive to walk in his footsteps? You know, we must. We must do that. So I'm going to turn now to 2 Nephi chapter 6. This is on page 109. Okay, 2 Nephi 6, 109. I'm going to start with 57. It says, "Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one." You know, the cunning plan of the devil. "Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them nothing, profiteth them not. Wherefore, they shall perish. But be learned in good is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. But woe, woe unto the rich, which are rich as into the things of the world. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And woe unto the deaf that will not hear, for they shall perish. Woe unto the blind that will not see, for they shall perish also. Woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquities shall smite them at the last day. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto they that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And 72, and in fine, woe unto all they that die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remain in their sins. You know, in verse 71, it mentions idols. You know, idols, you think, okay, is that the little statue? Is that, you know, what is an idol? You know, an idol is anything in our lives that takes first place in our heart above God. You know, anything that we enjoy doing or that we do that takes first place over serving our God. You know, these idols will bring us down. You know, Ether 1:16 says, "And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. For he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world." We need to be preparing ourselves. You know, the time to start, I'm going to say today a lot. Today is the day. You know, we should follow the commandments that the Lord has given us. You know, let's turn to the first two commandments, which is in Matthew 22. And I'm going to start with verse 37. Okay, Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. Do we do that? Do we do it? Do we give our all? You know, do we put him first? And the second is love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, do we think of others' needs more than our own? Do we reach out? Do we encourage each other? You know, God wants us to make the effort and show love one to another. You know, he will guide us in our lives if we will just ask. You know, we need to pray that he will guide our day. And our day, you know, when I say that, my day is better. You know, is everything perfect? Not necessarily. But he guides me and helps me through all the things I do in the day. You know, do we put our faith and trust in the Lord? You know, Messiah 11:24 says, Nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. We need to put our trust in our Heavenly Father. For in him only shall we find eternal life. You know, As usual, I can't get through a preaching service without, I love music. I love the words that have been inspired by those inspired by God that give us a message. And so let's turn to 331. And as I've been talking on trust, of course, this is trust and obey. 331, and I'm going to read the words here. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. You know, we need that smile, and he smiles on us always. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And the chorus is trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, we must trust in the Lord and obey the things of his teachings. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thee, shall direct thy way. I was going to say directly for good, and he would directly for good also. You know, Proverbs 16:20 says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You know, He gives us that happiness. He gives us this, that joy in our lives. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." You know, he will hear us, he will answer us, he will guide us. Psalm 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You know, he feeds us. I'm glad we're here this day. I'm glad we're, anytime there's a worship service, we need to be here to be fed. You know, I'm not up here because of my greatness. I'm up here because of my humbleness to God. You know, he leads me, he guides me. Without him, I couldn't be here, and I praise him. I praise his name. So he will be with us in all things. You know, let's turn now to 2 Nephi on page 94. Second Nephi 3, page 94, and I'm going to start with 61. It says, "O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness." You know, he is our rock. If we will study, if we will seek him, he will hold us strong. "Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen." You know, he gives us strength. You know, we need to seek him. Let's just turn a few pages over to page 134. And on page 134, this is 2 Nephi 9. And I'm going to start with 133. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." You know, let's now turn to page 429. I can't say any more in that. You know, great is our God. Great is our God. You know, Alma 16 on page 429. And I'm going to start with 2:15, and it says, "And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to the great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of the last sacrifice, to bring about the vows of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice, and encircles them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore only unto him that hath faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all of your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all of your households, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for the welfare, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. You know, we need to humbly seek our Lord in prayer. You know, that was kind of a long passage there, but how important it is. We must repent. We must pray. And he asks us to pray. He wants our thoughts all the time. You know, that's not exactly possible. We have to do things to get around, but he needs to be first. You know, we need to pray for the needs of others continually. You know, giving God the glory and the praise for the many blessings in our lives. You know, this last few weeks on the CCEG, there's been so many prayer requests, so many needs. And it's out there so that our brothers and sisters, as we read it, we can offer a prayer. So please watch that. Watch if it's Facebook, if it's anything that we can rise up and seek our God. Seek our God for the needs of all those that are around us. I say you know a few times. My wife tells me that every time. And each time I say, I'm not going to say it. But, we are striving with all of our might to serve our God and to follow his commandments. You know, we need to do that. You know, are we? You know, do we have that determination to succeed in our walk with the Lord? Do we do everything we can in our lives with the light of God guiding us? You know, I mentioned determination. I'm going to tell you a side story. I love to play pickleball. And many brothers here, we have that joy that we can fellowship and play pickleball together. You know, and the Malones have a court in their backyard. What a blessing. What a blessing. We can meet together, fellowship, but play the game. And I was a tennis player in high school, and I'm the old guy that's usually there, unless Dan comes. But Dan has been there, and he does good. But I'm the oldest of the bunch. But, I love to play pickleball. You know, I hope that everybody, when you look at me, you think that he's a nice guy. David's a nice guy. I'm hoping that's the thoughts, but you never know. But I'm hoping, and I pray that those are your thoughts. But when I'm on that court, I'm still a nice guy. But I want to win, you know, and I have that determination. And you play, and you're not just out there just to hit the ball. You're out there to win. And I'm out there to win, and I know each one of us there. You know, if we lose, we lose. But that determination that we figure out what ways we can do to get the ball past him. You know, I've been known if Daniel and Tony or DA, these tall guys, are up at the net, the only way past him is to hit it at him, you know. And I don't do that meanly, but if I'm going to win the point, you know. So do we have that same determination? We need to figure out in our lives what ways, you know, just like on the pickleball court, we're out there to try and win. We're out there to figure out how to get the ball. We got to figure it out. So in our spiritual lives, we need to figure out how we can study, how we can serve, what works best for us so that we can have that determination to win. To win that and not procrastinate, that we might win as we seek our Lord. You know, Messiah 2:44 says, "And see that all things are done in wisdom and order. For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he hath strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order." You know, we need to have this determination. We need to seek the Lord for guidance in our lives. You know, we need to be determined, but we can't do it on our own. We have to seek him. He will guide us and direct us. I want to turn to Mosiah 2, page 220. And I usually always have to read this. I'm reading later in it, but I'll come back to it later, so you'll get all my favorite scripture there. But I'm going to start page 220, Mosiah 2. I'm going to start with 20. It says, "Even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God, your own nothingness and his goodness and longsuffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true." You know, so we need to realize that we're nothing without our God. And we need to look to him for this strength in our lives. You know, in Luke it says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say?" You know, if we know the things that we should do in our lives to follow our God, you know, why do we not follow? You know, let's look into our hearts and truly prepare ourselves. You know, we need to make an effort to come to services so that we can strengthen each other. Maybe we think, I'm okay, but maybe your brother needs you. Maybe they need that smile, that greet. When others have trials and falls, we need to be there to reach out with the love of God and give that encouragement so that we can strengthen one another. You know, Romans 13:9 says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." You know, we need to be prepared. We need to believe. And here, on, if you kept your place in Mosiah 2, I'm going to go back to Mosiah 2 on page 219, I believe. Let's see. Mosiah 2 on page 220. And it's the second book of Mosiah. And it's 13 says, "Believe in God, believe that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them." You know, we have a duty to tell others of God's blessings. You know, we must believe and we must shout it from the mountaintops. You know, we need to tell each other of God's blessings. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, he is only asking for our reasonable service. You know, we must serve him. He is a loving God and wants us to show that same love to others. You know, let's turn to Romans 12. And I'm going to start with verse 9, Romans 12, 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And we all have different views. We all have, you know, right now, you know, we have different political views. We have different views out there on different things. And, you know, it's hard to see somebody else's side of it, but we must live in love. You know, we don't always have to agree, but we must live peaceably, live in the love of God. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When people see us in the world, can they see that we have the love of God? You know, when we communicate with others, do we communicate in love? Do we give that kindness? All those things that the Lord has asked to be humble, kind. Are we that way? You know, can they see it through our actions? And I do things a little different. I always have to have a little demonstration. It's a little bit different. But, you know, it's playoff time. When you see me in this jersey, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes. You see this jersey on me. What do you think? Do you think he must like the Chiefs? I think so. You know, on Fridays, I'll wear this jersey. I'll wear red Friday at work. You know, we cheer for the Chiefs, you know, and we... you know, when people see us, this is what they perceive. If they wouldn't think I was a Raiders fan, probably, they would think I was a Chiefs fan. But as a side note, this is not, is it okay to cheer for the Chiefs? And I think it is. But can the Chiefs be an idol? They can be. They can be an idol in our heart, as could... if we love to read, if we love music, you know, things in our life that we put above our God, we cannot do it. We cannot put those things. It's okay to be, if you're a sports fan, be a Chiefs fan. But if it places where your love for them is above your love for God, you can't do it. You can't do it. God has to be first in our lives, first above all. And so, get down here again. You thought I'd gain a little weight this morning, probably. I have a different t-shirt on, you know, and what does it say? I mean, I'll say blessed. You know, if you would see me in this t-shirt, you might think in your mind, okay, he must love God. You know, would you think he's wearing this shirt that says blessed? He must feel he's blessed by God. He is showing that. You know, I'm lucky to have a daughter that can make t-shirts. And so I yesterday said, can you make me a t-shirt? And it says blessed. And the reason I'm wearing it here is at my work, I have our shipping supervisor. He wears different t-shirts. He sits across me in our morning meeting, but he, like every other week, he'll have this shirt that says blessed, and he'll have praying hands on it. And I mean, it has a little praying hand, and you know, he wears this t-shirt. But the thing is he has the foulest mouth. You know, he has horrible language. And he's wearing this t-shirt that says blessed. And another day, because he wears t-shirts every day, and he has different t-shirts. And another day he had, I think it might have said Rolling Stones or something on it. And some guy said, oh, do you like the Rolling Stones? And he said, oh no, this was just a free t-shirt. So in my mind, here he is in this blessed shirt. I'm thinking, does he go to church? Does he believe in God? And so in my mind, I started thinking, you know what? He said he was just wearing the Rolling Stone t-shirt because it was free. Maybe the blessed t-shirt is because it was free. And so in my mind, it was just confusing. And at Christmas time, Courtney couldn't come back for Christmas. And she's in Seattle, and I took a package in to ship it out, and I went back. And he's a nice guy. You know, Tony laughs at me because I always say, well, there's this, but he's nice, you know. And he is a nice guy, but he just has the worst language ever. And took this package in. He helped me with it. As I left his office, he said, have a blessed day. So there it was. You know, here I was doubting because of his actions. You know, so think in our lives. Actions speak louder than words. I can wear this t-shirt up here. I can proclaim I'm blessed. But how am I acting? What are those little things? I mean, I don't have a problem with foul language, but maybe I do something else that someone would perceive that I wasn't serving my God. You know, actions speak louder than words. We need to do the things in our lives that will praise our God, and we must do the things that are right. I'll put my jacket on, look a little more presentable, yeah. Okay, we need to constantly seek to live our God's from the example that the Lord has given us. You know, 2 Nephi 13:19 says, and I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that ye have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. We have a good instructor from the example of our Lord. You know, study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Listen to the sermons. Be instructed. Seek God in prayer. He instructs us, and he will help us. I have a poem here by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled, Tomorrow, I Will Think About God. It says, not today when I am busy, not today when there's so much to do, not today while I'm young and eager, and life is far-reaching and new, but tomorrow when I am older and the tempo of life is less, I'll have more time for praying and meditating, I guess. But time is swift in its passing, And before we are really aware, we find ourselves growing older and daily in God, in need of God's care. And while God is always ready to help us and lead us along, because we have tarried and wasted our young days in dancing and song, we find we are not well acquainted with the wonderful love of our Lord. And we feel very strange in his presence and unworthy of our Father's reward. For only the children who seek him with heart yet untouched and still clean can ever experience his greatness and know what his love can mean. So waste not an hour of life's morning. Get acquainted with God when you're born. And when you come to life's evening, it will shine like the glory of morn. You know, today is the day to serve our God. Do not procrastinate. Do not procrastinate this day. Today is the day. Be ready and willing to do what is right. Follow his commandments. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians 6. This is a passage we all know, and I want to read it here. Ephesians 6, I'm going to start with 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, it's right there. What we need to do, we need to have that faith. We need to be ready. And we need to be ready to serve our God, to be ready to be founded on his rock so that we're steady. Two more small scriptures. And first one is just three verses, page 712, and it's Mormon 4. I'm going to start with the first line of 92. It says, "Hearken unto the words of the Lord. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever you stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. And begin in as in times of old. And come unto the Lord with all your heart. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God." And I'm going to end with, it's just one verse, you don't need to turn to it, but it's Mosiah 3:21 on page 225. Verse 21 says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord, God omnipotent, may seal you his, that ye may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and the power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. I thank you for your time. Let's have a blessed day, a blessed week, and live for our God. Be a light unto others. Be a light of his goodness. And, you know, I have this t-shirt that says blessed. Let's live our life showing the blessings of our Lord. So thank you.